Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm joined. Why is this man laughing?
Oh my goodness.
Joined by Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, it is now officially 10 degrees below zero, and you and I are talking gardening. Okay, well, why not? This is the point of the year when and when you and your colleagues are on CCO that and the gardeners, among others, they want spring. We want, you know, what are people doing now? Looking at seed catalogs, things like that, right?
Well, first of all, I think they'd just be happy if it was about 25 degrees.
Yeah, 25, about 50 degrees warmer than we have now. But if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Julie and her colleagues help us out every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Today, it's special. Not that it isn't usually, but Julie's going to be on today in this 8 o'clock hour and in the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah, so, double dipping.
Yeah, double dipping. So if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question and maybe didn't make it in, we always tend to get busy, too, when Julie's on the air. So call in your lawn or garden question or send a text. Again, it's the same number, 651-461-9226. If you want to call and chat with Julie, great. If you want to send her a text, that'd be okay, too. But again, the same number, 651-461-9226, this hour, and again, 10 o'clock. So that's great. I was starting warming up the car yesterday morning, and I'm looking at my boxwoods, who look pretty good, by the way. I mean, compared to some years past where we had you know, no snow and crazy weather. Mm-hmm. Now, this is I've never put protection on them. Is that something that all shrubs need, or just some? I mean, I never did ask you guys that.
So boxwoods are called broadleaf evergreens, meaning that they're not coniferous evergreens like pines and spruce. And because of that, they have a tendency to become very dried out over the winter. Mm. Those broad leaves that they have to retain through the winter need to stay green, and they stay green because they have moisture in them. And when they do turn brown, it's usually because of really cold, windy conditions and dry conditions. So people do wrap them in burlap. Sometimes you'll see kind of these strange figures around people's yards all wrapped in burlap for the winter. And but if they're planted in the right location, it sounds like yours are, Denny, that they stay out of the wind. They're kind of in a somewhat protective area and not, you know, subject to these northwest prevailing winds that we have in the winter. But most important is to also keep watering your evergreens, coniferous and broadleaf, up until the time the soil freezes or you have to turn your water off. So this year we had a very long fall, so we had a lot of opportunity to do that for quite a while. And sounds like they're doing great. Snow cover also helps. You know, when we don't have snow, our plants really suffer. That snow has a good insulating value. And without it, our roots are subject to a lot of stress, and also our evergreens are subject to a lot of stress as well.
And what about houseplants, too? I'm thinking of listeners when they call in or text in their questions. We're talking inside and outside lawn and garden. Well, not maybe not lawn inside, but hey, who knows, with grow lights. And this was this is something, as you're aware of, we always get dormant seeding questions. Of course, we right. have snow cover, at least we do in my neighborhood.
Yes.
And I was hoping to get out and do a little more dormant seeding, but I guess I'm a little late in that regard. But talk about dormant seeding for maybe we have new listeners. What exactly is that for our lawns, and how do we do it?
Well, the grasses we grow for lawns here in Minnesota are called cool season grasses, meaning that they have the most growth during cool times of the year, meaning spring and fall. And fall is our number one time for doing lots of things with our lawns, including seeding. And dormant seeding is a process where we put down the grass seed after temperatures have gotten too cold for that grass seed to germinate. And then that grass seed lies dormant through the winter. And in the spring, then it starts to sprout when the moisture and the temperatures are appropriate. So it's a good way to get a jump on your spring lawn. It's also a nice way to, you know, when you've got some bare patches, that you can go ahead and get a head start on that as well. So that's essentially dormant seeding. You can also seed in August as well. And people do put down seed in the spring as well, too, when the temperatures are appropriate.
Now, what do you call those cold weathers? This is what kind of grass seed is that?
Cool season grasses.
Cool
so these
season
are
grasses.
Kentucky bluegrass is probably the most common that we see in our lawns, but there's also fescues, which we're really promoting at the University of Minnesota because there's fescues are very drought tolerant. They also grow in a variety of different light conditions, meaning full sun, part shade. Even in the shade, they do fairly well. And they have a low nutrition value, meaning that they don't require a lot of fertilizer. So they're a good all-around tough lawn grass. They still give you a nice green, lush lawn, and they're still very walkable and playable. So they're a good alternative to the more kind of needy Kentucky bluegrass that we have. But you can do a mixture of those, too. So you could do a higher percentage of fescue and then a little bit of Kentucky blue.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. You can call it in or you can text it in with that same number. 226. Again, 651-461-9226. You can call it in or you can text it in with that same number. What kind of problems, Julie? By the way, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is answering your questions today. What about the indoor plants? What kind of problems are we seeing with those? I know I had to chase some fungus gnats again.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I have it under control now. What is that pretty common? And are there only certain plants that get fungus gnats?
Well, fungus gnats, people often think they're fruit flies. Like
yeah,
maybe they've had
exactly.
fruit out on their counter. It's gone a little ripe. They're seeing these little flies, and they're thinking they have fruit flies. And when they throw the fruit away, they still have these flies. And fungus gnats grow in continually moist conditions. So just like their name sounds, they like damp soil, they like fungus, mold, bacteria, and they feed on that, and the larvae feed on that when it's on the roots of the plant. So if you have a plant that is continually growing in moist to wet soil, then you need to let it dry out. And the fungus gnats, the conditions won't be favorable to them any longer. So that's the important thing, is to water. Watering is probably the number one problem I hear about the most from people in their house plants, is that they overwater their plants. And they do that a couple of ways. One is they water regularly on a schedule, and you really need to feel the soil first and make sure that it's dry and that the plant actually needs to be watered. Sometimes people will have a plant potted in a nursery pot, one of these green or black ugly pots, and they'll put it into a decorative pot. And they'll water into that decorative pot, which has no hole in it, has no drainage. Mm-hmm. And the plant will wind up sitting in a couple of inches or more of water. And so that soil is continually wet. So it's really favorable for fungus gnats. Fungus gnats can come from other plants. They can also come in from the outdoors if you keep your plants outside. And I think the best way to really quickly get rid of fungus gnats on a plant is to repot the plant.
Mm.
And to repot it, making sure that you have a pot that has good drainage. And if you do have one of these double pots with a nursery pot inside a decorative pot, take the nursery pot out, set it in your sink, water it, allow it to drain well, and then put it back into that decorative pot. So that's those are probably the number one, that's the number one thing we see. What happens ultimately is the plant's roots will rot. And they'll rot from being sitting in this water. And when they do, you see the plant start to wilt, and people are confused because they think, well, the soil's wet. How can it be wilting? Well, it's wilting because those roots are disintegrating, and the plant can't take up any water into the plant because the roots are gone. So it's kind of ironic that way. But that's probably if people could just feel the soil, check the plant, don't water on a schedule, and make sure that you're allowing that pot to drain really well, and before you put it back in that decorative pot, that's probably will save your houseplants a lot.
Very good. All right, Julie, we need to take a quick break. Let's again invite our listeners to join in on our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, maybe you received a plant for the holidays.
Yeah, I have a suggestion too, Denny.
Oh, yeah?
I think because it's New Year's Day, if people have resolutions, gardening resolutions for the coming year, I think that would be interesting to hear from people too. Either
that's a good idea,
since it is New Year's Day.
That's right. a New Year's resolution pertaining to gardening or lawns.
Or gardens, trees.
Yeah.
You name it.
All the above. All right. Yeah. Good. Great idea. We'll do that when we come back. Here again is not only our phone number, but it's our text number. Folks are making use of that. And don't wait. Call it in or text it in 651-461-9226 on our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are, I was going to say normally here, and we are always here on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock hour. Today is a special day, though, because Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M not only is helping you out this hour, but also in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. So right after our Andy Lindis show with Lindis Construction, Julie will return to answer more questions. So if you didn't get your question answered this hour, stay with us, and you can call or text Julie back in the 10 o'clock hour. So a couple of opportunities. Here is our phone number. It's also our text number for any kind of a lawn or garden question you have for Julie. 651-461-9226. We'll grab some text messages in a moment, Julie. But Sue, I think, is calling in from Stillwater this morning. Sue, good morning. You're on CCO with Julie. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Is Sue with us, Dennis?
Oh.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I guess not. Maybe not.
Hey, Dennis, you're on the show.
Yay.
We don't usually hear from him.
That's right. He's kind of a quiet guy.
She can call back.
He's pretty busy. Yeah, Sue calls back. She may have been grabbing
maybe
a cup of coffee or something.
Get the bacon out of the oven.
All right. Here's a couple, actually. Two questions.
Oh, right.
And if
cool.
I can follow the text
Let's
screen.
Do it.
It said, I planted garlic last fall.
Oh,
should
nice.
That be mulch now that the ground is frozen? I work at a coffee shop with lots and lots of coffee grounds. Are they helpful or harmful? And I guess those are the two questions. Should it be mulch, the garlic, and our coffee? We get that question once in a while about coffee grounds. But you can grab either one.
Okay, so garlic, yay. Yes, I planted a ton of garlic at my cousin Steve's farm out in Independence. And, in fact, we had so much garlic, I gave some of it to my colleague Natalie Hoidl because we ran out of space. But, garlic is a great thing to plant. You actually take the big bulb and you break off the cloves, and the cloves are what you plant for the individual plants for next year. You could mulch it, but, you know, depending on where you live, if you have snow cover, that is actually acting somewhat like a protective mulch in a way. I'd want to say that every inch of snow has an R factor of 1 or so. So that 6 inches of snow has an R factor of 6, and that's the same as a bat of fiberglass insulation. I'm not a home... winterize or anything. Home improvement. We could ask Andy that.
Absolutely.
But anyway, it's so there's a good insulating factor because that the ice crystals in snow actually hold air, and that acts as kind of like as an insulating factor. So that's great. So you don't right now. I mean, if you threw mulch down, I don't know. I think I would not worry about it at this point because we've got enough snow cover. And again, depending on where you live, if you have no snow cover on it, yeah, definitely you could throw some hay, straw. You want to use straw that is clean straw. In other words, no seeds in it. You can use leaves. You can use wood mulch. So yes, you could do that. And that would actually be good in the spring too. If you can't do it now, but to mulch those little plants when they start to come up, because that helps to hold moisture in, and then also to keep the temperatures moderate of the soil, even when we get into, you know, hotter days. So garlic is fantastic. That's great. And then the second question.
Coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds don't really add anything to the soil, but they lighten the soil, meaning that they give it air pockets. And because of their granular quality, they don't add nutrients. They don't add the caffeine doesn't do anything. But they do benefit the texture of the soil and the way the soil has air in it. And that's always great because you want air in your soil for good root development. We talked earlier about roots that sit in water all the time. They have no air. It's an anaerobic environment, and that's tough on roots. Roots need air. They also need water, and that the coffee grounds, along with things like compost, leaf mulch, they all add air to the soil and they lighten that soil, especially if you have clay soil. If you have sandy soil, coffee grounds may or may not help a lot. They're not going to hurt anything. But compost is better and leaf mulch is better because they actually retain water. And in sandy soil, as you know, if you have sandy soil, it dries out really quickly. So they help to hold water and make that water available to the roots of the plants.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We have a couple of calls. I want to alert not only Joy, but Sue. You're going to grab your phone calls just as soon as we do the forecasts, which is coming up. We have about another half hour of the Garden Show this hour. Again, for those just joining, a Smart Garden normally heard 8 to 9 will still be heard. But again, Julie's going to come back at 10 this morning to do cleanup, do the questions we didn't get answered.
Yes,
resolutions. Yeah, if you have any gardening resolutions, you can tell Julie those too when we come back. So we'll have a look at that chilling forecast, and then we'll grab some calls and text messages here in the Smart Garden Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Point at minus 18, 67 the humidity, and with mostly cloudy skies. Our current CCO temperature reading 10 degrees below zero. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering your lawn and garden questions this morning. This morning at 8 and also at 10. So we're going to get, Julie said, double dip. If you have more lawn and garden questions, you'll have another crack at it in the 10 o'clock hour. Speaking of phone calls and texts, you can do either with 651-461-9226, just like Sue, who's calling back from Stillwater, I believe, this morning. Hi, Sue. What's your question for Julie?
Can you hear me this time?
We certainly can.
Yes,
loud and clear.
Perfectly.
Wonderful. I've waited through two commercial breaks.
Oh, good.
Well, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And
anyway, I took your advice last fall and dug up a hibiscus and put it in a pot and in my garage.
Okay.
And what I'm remembering I was supposed to do is just let it sit there until mid-January, but I don't know where to go from here.
So this is a hibiscus, right? Is it a tropical hibiscus?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's tall.
Okay. So
and
we
it's
have
kind of twisted.
Did it have flowers that were really big or flowers that were maybe as big as a softball?
They were pretty big.
They're pretty big. Okay, so that is a perennial. I'm going to guess it's a perennial hibiscus. That plant, you can go ahead and plant it once the conditions are warm enough. So when the soil, when you can actually dig in the soil and the temperatures are, you know, in the maybe 40s, 50s, then you can replant it, or you can move your pot out into the garden. You could bring it into the house and water it, and you can go ahead then and, you know, it'll start to put out leaves and things. And then you could bring the pot out onto your deck or patio once the weather is, you know, the nights are in the 50 degrees or so. It's next year. I'm not sure. I don't remember if I gave you the advice of digging it up or not, but that plant is a perennial plant, if it's a perennial hibiscus, and it can survive through the winter in Minnesota in the ground. So you could have left it in the ground and then mulched it, put some wood mulch around it, and left it there. And then in the spring, it would just sprout on its own. Now, if it's a tropical hibiscus, that is not going to survive through the winter. So you are correct to bring that in. You can actually bring that right into the house as a house plant and grow it through the whole winter. It'll bloom. It'll be leafed out. It'll look lovely. And then you can move it back outside onto your deck or patio in the spring. So it depends on which kind of hibiscus you have. But next year you could plant it in the garden, once you can work in the garden, and then go ahead and leave it there through the winter. Just mulch it, cut it down and mulch it, and it should be fine the following spring.
All right, very good. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
Thanks, Sue. Nice we could connect.
Yes, finally. 651-461-9226 is our phone number. It's also our text number. Back to the phones we go. I think Hutchinson is our next stop. Joy should be there. Hi, Joy. What's your question? Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year to you, too, and all the listeners. And I learn so much from this show every time I listen.
Great.
Excuse me. One thing I'd like to pass on that has worked now for me regarding fungus gnats. I always have the issue because I bring things in from outdoors. This fall, same thing. And then I read a tip that has worked for me, and it is one part of hydrogen peroxide to four parts of water to water the plant. Best if it can kind of flush through. And one time is all it's taken for me to get rid of the fungus gnats so far. So I thought I'd just pass that on because I didn't know that before I read it either. And like I say, it's worked. And the plants haven't okay. been affected by it. I kind of worried about that, but it's working.
Yeah, so hydrogen peroxide, I've heard of that as well. And I've done a little bit of reading about it. It actually is something, I'm not a soil scientist, but I have read that hydrogen peroxide is something that is in, it's actually natural in the soil. It's in our soil, and it converts to water as when you add it in as an additive like that. It apparently treats the larvae that are living in the soil, and then it flushes out as water. So it doesn't harm the plant. I'm glad to hear that you're measuring and putting in, you know, a little bit of hydrogen peroxide to the water instead of just, you know, guessing, because that's important when you are doing a home remedy like that. So it's, I have heard about that. I have not tried it myself, but thank you for sharing that. That's a good thing to pass on to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Joy. You know, we should mention, especially, you know, here we are, a new day, new year, and if we have some new listeners who may be unaware of that wonderful website at the University of Minnesota
guys
work so hard on.
Yeah, so it's extension.umn.edu, and it's called Yard and Garden, and we also have an excellent publication that comes out twice a month, Yard and Garden News. It's online, and you can subscribe to it and get an alert when the new information is up. So we have a team member who puts that online for all of our subscribers. And we try to write current things that we are seeing. And in the winter, we write a lot about houseplants. We write about choosing seeds. It's coming up to that time. Hopefully people are starting to order their seeds. And we also write about conditions that we see, like extreme cold and snow cover or lack thereof. So it's a great current piece of information that I think all gardeners in Minnesota and even Wisconsin and the Dakotas and Iowa might find really helpful. So we enjoy writing that. Our website is chock full of other web pages about everything from trees and shrubs to vegetables, fruits, houseplants, flowers. We have some good diagnostic tools. What's wrong with my plant? Is this plant a weed? What insect is this? There's also information on becoming a master gardener, too, and how to reach master gardeners in your county for help.
And is, I think, if, and I haven't checked them all out in the lower 48 or Alaska, but it's got to be probably one of the best online, the best websites for that kind of lawn and garden information anywhere, right? Well, I mean, you
like
guys get a lot
so.
Of hits.
We get a lot of hits. It's a very popular site, a lot of visits from people, and a lot of new readers, actually. So that's what we're always trying to reach, those people who don't know about extension and don't know the value that we can bring to their lives. So so I'm happy whenever I see that that number of new readers go up, along with our solid subscriber base.
Yeah, well, you guys do a great job, so thank you for that. I want to invite our listeners to join in again. For those that just maybe tuned in, Julie Weisenhorn answering your lawn and garden questions today, not only this hour, but in the 10 o'clock hour as well. So if we don't get to all your questions, or you don't have time right now to ask them, but have in that 10 o'clock hour, come on back and join us when Julie returns. But here's one, Julie. It's a lawn question. We had
we had
grubs in our front yard, mm-hmm. and ended up with only weeds by the end of the growing season. What should we be doing this coming spring?
Okay, so grubs are, of course, the immature bean or immature beetles. It could be June beetles, Japanese beetles, could be a number of different kind of those big hardy beetles, and grubs will overwinter through, and then they are at their largest early in the spring. So that is when they're the hardest to kill. So they will, those beetles or those grubs that are in the soil in the spring will eventually pupate and emerge as adult beetles. So the time to treat for beetles is actually in after the 1st of July or so. And that's when you want to treat for them. If you definitely have determined you have grubs, which sounds like this texter did, then you want to anticipate treating for them in July when the new generation hatches, and they're very tiny. That's when they're most vulnerable, and that's when you want to really nail them with the pesticide. The other thing you could do, too, is, of course, you're going to need to reseed your lawn and get rid of the weeds. And you can do that starting in the spring when the temperatures are warm enough for the seed to germinate. And also when you can, you got to get rid of the weeds first because you don't want to deal with the competition. So, grubs, it's interesting because a lot of people right away say, I had grubs last year. I've got to treat them in the spring. What do I do? But that's the hardest time to treat for grubs is when they're those big, fat grubs. So you want to wait, and I know that's hard to do, but you want to wait until about July to treat. And if you look at any kind of a treatment plan, and you can look on our website, we have a lot of information about grubs and lawns, is look for that life cycle. And understand that the life cycle, the time you want to treat, is at midsummer treatment.
Speaking of lawns, speaking of the U of M website, you guys have put together, you have too, kind of a process. I know it's January 1st and it's 10 below zero, but as far as what to do when, you know, as far as fertilizing
right.
and things like that, you really kind of put a calendar out there.
Yeah, we have the Minnesota Lawn Care Calendar. It's on our lawn care webpage. On Yard and Garden, and it has a good, it gives you the best time to do something, and if you happen to have missed that, it gives you a second best time to do that, and so that's a great kind of rule of thumb. You have to take into consideration the conditions, too. Like, we had such a dry summer, and it was so hot that I believe, if I remember correctly, our temperatures were really high starting early in the spring, and that, you know, That makes it more difficult to do something. So you have to also consider the weather and take that, you know, with a grain of salt and then kind of say, well, let me think about that. And, you know, do I still want to, it's 90 degrees, is my grass seed still going to germinate? And that kind of thing. So, but it is a good rule of thumb. It's a good guideline. And you can always then reach out to us directly to find out if it's a good time to do that. And this show is super helpful for that because we're on every week.
Yep.
So we can update you every week on it.
Absolutely. Again, it's extension.umn.edu. All right.
Right.
They're telling me, Dennis is, that we need to take a break. So let's do that. Let's invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, there's still time this hour. But again, if you can't, we can't get your question answered this hour, join us again at 10. Julie will be back in the 10 o'clock hour to do more lawn and garden talk here. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on some text questions when we come back. Julie here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota answering your lawn or garden questions either by phone or by text. And Julie, we have phone callers, so let's see if we can't field those before we run out of time. Julie will return at 10 o'clock this morning, so fear not. If you didn't get your questions answered this hour, we have the 10 o'clock hour to get that done. Guy's calling in from Rosemount this morning. Guy, good morning. Happy New Year. What's your question for Julie?
You know, I have a few plants that I bring in the wintertime. I have two bougainvilleas and a fuchsia, and I need to repot those this winter because they're just outgrowing their current bulb there.
Sure.
And I'm wondering how far if I should trim them back before I repot them.
Well, I think I would trim them back just so they're manageable. Those are pretty vining plants, and they're beautiful plants, really, really wonderful, and it's great that you brought them indoors. So I think just you could trim them up to just so you could manage them, and you might even have somebody help you, like hold the stems while you do the repotting too, but I don't think you have to cut them way back or anything.
All right, very good. Thanks, Guy. Again, here's our phone number and text number for future use, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Edina next. I think Nancy is there ready to ask you a question. Good morning, Nancy. What's your question, please?
Good morning and Happy New Year. I have a comment about a fertilizer. Last year, I bought some begonias, 4-inch pots and other sizes, and I gave one to a friend of mine. And later in the summer, I visited that friend, and that begonia, I couldn't believe it was the one I gave him, was as high as the front door. It was a big bush. And I go,
"Oh my
gosh, wow, where did you get that?" And he said, and honest to God, he said, "No, that's the one you gave me." And I said, "What using?" Okay, here's the secret. And I went out and bought it right away. And even it's Jack's Fertilizer, J-A-C-K.
Okay.
And it is wonderful. You can buy it at your local garden store or, I guess, Walmart. My sister ordered it for me on Amazon. And even toward the end of the summer, the same begonia plants that I had no luck with were growing. I hated to throw them out by October.
Wow.
But that's my tip of the day. My 4-inch pot was as high as a bush in front of his front door.
I love those stories.
Yeah. Those are great.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. Great.
What that's great. Yeah. Well, fertilizer goes a long way, especially in containers like that. So remember that these plants are growing in a finite amount of soil. And so you need to provide that for them. And they do use it up through the season. So that's a great story.
I'm looking at a text message, Julie, that kind of is related. It says, "Happy 2022. How often should I fertilize indoor plants? Is it different for cacti? And what fertilizer ratio should be used?" All these questions. So a little time.
Wow.
"Do you recommend these pumping fertilizer bottles?" So
Well, first thing is that with houseplants, you want to fertilize about every, when you see active growth. So sometimes plants will go into a little bit of dormant right after they're brought in, dormancy. So when you start to see new leaves, buds, new roots, if you're growing orchids, you want to do, you want to fertilize. And you want to use half the strength recommended because, again, these plants are in these finite conditions. You don't want to overload them too much with fertilizer because fertilizer can desiccate or dry out plants as well. So about half strength when you see active growth, cacti are unique because they are slower growing, and I would refer to a cactus. I would buy a cactus fertilizer, and I would read that information, and again, I would do it at about half strength. And again, you only fertilize cacti about once a month or so because they don't require a lot of water. You don't want to overwater them. Make sure they're draining well. That's important for all houseplants.
Fertilizer ratio is one question, and the other was what? Pumping fertilizer bottles.
Okay. Fertilizer ratio, it depends. Usually an all-purpose fertilizer, or again, if you have, like, for example, African violets, you can buy a special fertilizer that's designed for African violets. Same with orchids, cacti, and I would reach out for those. Other houseplants, like peace lilies and Christmas cactus, those are a little bit more. Just an all-purpose fertilizer works for that. I'm not sure about these pumping bottles. I like to actually measure it myself, mix it in the water, and make sure that I'm doing it consistently. I wouldn't rely on a pumping bottle. I guess I just don't. I haven't tried them, but I think it's easier to just use a liquid fertilizer and dissolve it in the water, mix it in with the water.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call from Ann, who is calling in from Minneapolis, I believe, this morning. Ann, are you still there? And Happy New Year.
Thank you, and the same to you guys. Hey, my question is about a red Japanese maple. It's about 2 feet tall. I got it as a baby, and it's been doing good. It's in its second year now. I'm hearing two different schools of thought. In the summer, of course, it's out on the patio, and it's really happy. In the winter, I bring it in. Some people say find a nice sunny spot where it can get light and leave it in the heated part of the house. Other people say put it in a protected area of your garage or down the basement and let it go dormant and drop all its leaves. And I'm wondering which is the preferred method or the pros and cons.
I think you could do either one. I can't say that I've tried that with the Japanese maple. Japanese maples are somewhat tender plants here in Minnesota, though people do have success with growing them in protected microclimates in their yard. So these are areas that are, you know, the right amount of light, protected from wind, moisture. I think that you could do either one of those. And maybe the pros and cons would be that you do allow the plant to go dormant, like in your garage, as it naturally would if it was growing outside. So you're following the natural process versus if you are growing it indoors, you're growing it now throughout the entire year, and that plant doesn't get a dormant period. Sometimes a dormancy is important to plants. It will prompt budding, it will prompt leafing, flowering, depending on the plant. But it also gives the plant maybe a little bit of rest time. It's not stressing that it's trying to grow in an artificial environment. If it were my plant, I think I would probably put it in the garage and or in the basement where and let it go dormant. I would give it a little bit of water maybe, you know, once a month, and then I would take it out as soon as it starts to warm up, and I would bring it out into my house then or out into the a sunny window at that point, allow it to start leafing out maybe in March, and so that by April or May you can start to acclimate it to the outdoors.
Excellent. Let me give the phone number and the text number again, and for those that just joined us, Julie, on the Smart Garden Show, we have an extra edition of it. Double dip,
yes.
As Julie said. Julie's going to return at 10 this morning. With more answering more lawn and garden questions. So keep that in mind. I know we have a bunch of text messages right now, and we'll certainly pick up on those if we don't get through those today. We just have a minute or so to go in this hour. You know, maybe what we should do, Julie, is give again that university website, and then when we come back here in a couple of minutes right after the news, I want to talk about the Arboretum, too, and some lawn and garden New Year's resolutions. We'll do that.
Yes, we can do that at 10 o'clock.
All right, okay. give us that website.
It is extension.umn.edu. And also, I would encourage people to subscribe to the Yard and Garden News, which is our bi-monthly, I think I said that right, twice a month publication that is online. And you can get an alert that we have some new information if you are a subscriber.
Excellent. All right, Julie, go have some coffee. And
all right.
Maybe
I'll see you in a couple hours or in an hour.
All right, good deal. Julie,
see you at 10 o'clock.
See you at 10. Julie Wazenor, we'll be back in the 10 o'clock hour for an extra edition of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. In the meantime, cloudy skies. We're in the midst of a wind chill advisory today, tonight, and a bit of your Sunday tomorrow. We'll get details coming along in a moment. We might get up to 2 below for a daytime high today. In the meantime, northwest winds at 9. Our wind chill now is a minus 27. Mostly cloudy skies. Our current CCO temperature reading 10 degrees below zero. Stay with us.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.